Hey guys, well today I'm sitting down with my husband and we're going to be talking about just life lately. I'm 35 weeks pregnant and God's just been putting stuff on our hearts and we just wanted to share with you what he's showing us in this time and season. Hey, welcome to the Rebecca Weiss podcast. I'm joined with my husband today. Why are you smiling?
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt. I was letting you do your intro.
Wait, should I do it one more time?
Yeah, that's perfect.
And we are actually sitting down because we're in a very interesting season of life. I don't like the word interesting.
You always use the word interesting for everything.
I do. So what's a better way to say this?
Give the real feeling that you feel. We're in what season of life? Just the real authentic feeling.
Anticipation.
Okay.
Is how I feel. Because we are 35 weeks pregnant.
You are. I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, it's true. I'm really feeling it.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to sit down and have this conversation because there's so much that God's been putting on both of our hearts. And I kind of want to like take a little snapshot of this time and season we're in because in just a few short weeks, we're going to be holding our baby girl in our arms and we're going to be in a very special season of life, the postpartum season. So I just wanted to sit down and the easiest person for me to talk to about this in front of the camera and the person I talk to behind off camera is you.
I know. It's like I live in the Rebecca Weiss podcast.
Yeah.
I'm just always getting
you are also your some of the brains behind the Rebecca Weiss podcast as well.
You know, I don't know how I'm going to feel any different having a girl. I know I'm going to feel different, but I don't.
I know.
But like even when we went from zero kids to one kid to two kids, I was never, during this stage, I was never like, I have all these feelings or I can't believe, you know, it's just kind of, I don't really feel, as the father, I don't really feel much until the baby's here. And then even more so as the baby's growing, I feel like those first few months, specifically when they're just little tiny babies that sleep, you know, it really like grows on me a lot. Like after the baby's born.
I actually think that's a really good point. I think most fathers feel that way. The mother has been bonding with the baby.
Yeah, you've been carrying the child.
Because she's been in my womb. Yeah, feeding the child. I am. And
now you're at the stage where when you go to sleep or you go to lie down.
Oh my goodness.
She starts interacting even more because when you're up walking around, she like gets lulled to sleep.
Yeah, she's pretty chill. So I almost woke him up last night because he was already asleep, but she was moving so much in my belly. It almost kind of freaked me out. And I had a little, what they call pre-dominal labor, which is you have like that kind of like pre-labor feeling, those kind of Braxton Hicks. And it was just, I don't know, it was so wild. And I almost like woke you up for moral support because it was kind of tripping me out. But I just ended up taking my magnesium and going to sleep. But you're right. It's like in these last couple months, I've been able to bond with her and I've been able to pray over her. And it really is a special time in a mother's life when the baby is in the womb because you get a sense of that baby kind of before everyone else and you get to connect. So I don't know, the connection with a mother and a child is so beautiful. And motherhood and pregnancy and birth, they really are sacred things. And you know,
and God's spoken to you. I mean, God's spoken to you during all of our kids over the any kid, and same with me, but even more so with her, she said some really cool things. Remind me what those are.
Yeah. So that's actually one of the things I wanted to touch on. What's so interesting is my midwife that I'm using this time around, she has six kids. And one of the things she talked about is how God kind of does something through each kid. And it's, I think that's so true. I think God does a work. I think he's done a work in both of us.
We've seen in our own life that play out. Like with Asher, we had different breakthroughs, different healings, different like transformative seasons. Then with Boaz, the same thing, different depth of different healings, you know, growth and change. So that's also exciting. That's a good point. It's exciting to see what this baby girl is going to bring. I almost said her name, but I know I'm not allowed to.
I know. And none of these people know the name.
Yeah. It's hard for me to not say the name.
I know.
I've been calling her that for a long, almost since we found out we were pregnant.
I know, but you really, I mean, both of us have really, I finally think I've settled into the name. Like for a long time, I was kind of going back.
I've been settled since I heard it.
That's
the difference between me and you.
That's your personality though. You are like Mr. Settled. Like you, that's why, once again, we're different. And the differences we bring balance to our relationship because we are one in Christ. And so I like to think and go over and mull over, and you are just like, all right, this is what it is. And you're steady. And I like that about you. But no, I've been thinking about the name over and over and over again, thinking, is there a better option? Is there, you know, trying to weigh, and it, this name has pretty much, it's, this has been it.
You still won't say it.
I will not say it. You know why?
No, you still won't admit that this is it. You're like, it's pretty much it.
No, it's it. I'm like 95%
there.
Yeah,
you're open it.
Let it come out and let me look at her. But you know what's funny is when Boaz came out, like the moment Boaz was in my arms, I was like, Boaz, like, cause I have the birth footage of him. So I wonder if I'm probably going to do that with her. The moment she comes out, I'm going to say her name. I don't think it's going to be a question, cause some people, they don't really name their babies until the baby comes out. But back to what you were saying, cause I kind of got off track. You were saying that with each kid, there's been kind of something different.
And you were saying that God spoke some unique things about her to you, and I wanted to hear what those were.
So what's been really interesting to answer that question is every kid has been, God's done something different in me. And with Boaz, I knew I wanted to do things differently than I did with Asher. With your first kid, you don't know anything and you have that experience. With my second, I knew what I wanted to do differently. But when I was pregnant with Boaz, you know, dad had passed, and that was a really difficult season of life. And so when he came into the world, it was very much a healing time and a time to be still. But with Boaz, I really leaned into my own strength. I did not lean into God as much as a source of strength. And when we found out that we were pregnant with our third, I remember listening to a Bible teaching on the way into work. And it was all about how in Corinthians, that passage where Paul says that God spoke to him and says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is made perfect in your weakness. For when you are weak, I am strong. And God spoke to me and he says, I got you. And what I really feel like with this third child is the shift has gone from me relying on myself and other people as my source of strength. And the third is about how he is my source. And so I'm probably the most at peace I've ever been, which is kind of wild because we have the most on our plate in our lives, but I'm at the most at peace I've ever been. And so—
And now if you go back and look at when, before we had kids, and when you had the first one coming and you're like, wow, that was so easy and how overwhelming it felt. Now we have two kids and a third one coming and the most responsibilities we've ever had, but yet there's a deep peace for both of us.
Right? There's a peace. And I feel like our family's in the best place it's ever been in. And it's only by the grace of God. And so I've had this peace. And so even I feel like I've been able to really go into my quiet times and just hear from the Lord and receive. With this third one, I know that I've just felt this connection with her. And I know that she's special. I know that she's called. And I know that it's my job as her mother to steward that call. But really, God has really taught me about grace in this season. And God has really shown me as God, as the Father. And what's really interesting is I interviewed Leif on this podcast, which eventually that episode will drop. But Leif talked all about God, the Father. And after I interviewed him, I was like, I want that revelation more. And I started reading his book. And as I've been reading his book and listening to his teachings, I've been getting this download of God as the Father. And as I've gotten this download of God as the Father, it's really shifted my faith. It's really shifted my perspective. And it's given me a peace that I've never had before. Mm-hmm. Because I understand, it's like when you understand God is your Father, you can have faith to believe that he'll take care of you. Because it's not just like this God that's far away. It's God as the Father who loves you and you're his child. And so when your heart can really begin to believe and receive the Father's love, it shifts even your perspective of faith. And so as I've leaned into the Father's love and that identity as a child of God, it's helped me with even preparation with birth, with this third baby coming, with everything that's in front of our view screen. And one of the things that was really interesting, and this hit me last night with the boys and this baby, is that when you understand the love of the Father, you're able to take whatever burdens you have on yourself and put them in his hands because you can really trust and believe that he's going to take care of you. And that brings like this overwhelming peace. And when I'm in a place of peace, that is the best thing for our marriage and for our children. And what's so wild is I even felt that peace last night. I just kind of felt myself releasing things to him. And as I shifted into a place of peace, I felt like a shift even in our kids. And I even felt a shift in her. And I was like, wow, like the most, it's like so many people are running themselves ragged, looking like trying to fix their problems or, you know, letting stresses get to them because this life is so stressful. And there are things that try us. There are people who drain us, situations that drain us. And yet we need to live our life from that place of relationship with the Father, that he can cleanse our souls, that he can fill us with his love, and that he can take our burdens so that we can live in a place of peace. And when we are people of peace, not only does that minister to our home life and our families and our marriages, but it'll minister to the people around us.
I can always tell when you need to take some time into like, you know, go into that place of peace and find that renewed strength in him. But what about somebody watching? How do you encourage them to like be tapped into that? Because you're someone who has really built a muscle around one-on-one with the Lord. You call it your quiet time with the Lord. And so it's like, you know, when your battery is reaching like medium or low, it needs to be refilled. What about somebody who's just getting started and trying to figure out what a relationship with the Lord? How would you encourage them to tap into that?
Okay, the verse that comes to my mind is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the Bible, one of your favorite verses, Jeremiah 33:3, is one of the verses you taught me about and is like a life verse for you. It says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. And so in the Bible, there's these verses where basically it's understood that God is beckoning us and he wants to share his heart with us. And if you can believe that and understand that, and if you can understand that the blood of Jesus, when you receive salvation, how it cleanses you and how you can come boldly before the throne of grace, you can come to God in humility and draw near to him and he will draw near to you. And so that's my encouragement is
that's good.
God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you more than you want to be with him, mm-hmm. honestly.
Isn't that amazing to think about that the creator of heaven and earth, the one that was before time, the one that is eternity, wants to have a personal relationship with you?
I still feel that way. Yeah. Like I was spending time with him 2 days ago or yesterday, I can't remember. And I actually had that feeling. Because I just felt the love when you feel his presence come in and you get a reality of heaven and who he is. I had that feeling of I am just a mere human and yet you love me and want relationship with me and will take care of me. It's such a overwhelming feeling of love and also humility. And that's my other encouraging word is what I've learned through the years is if you are wanting to pursue a relationship with God, two of the best attitudes and postures of your heart, like really focus on your heart and just be humble. Humble yourself. Well, it's a spiritual principle that God actually exalts the humble and he debases the proud. That's a whole nother topic. But when you are humble before God, he draws close to us. And when you're grateful, when you say, God, thank you for what your son did for me on the cross. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking care of me. And so those are two big things. If you go in understanding that God loves you and he wants to be with you more than you even want to be with him, that he's forgiven you and he's made a way through the sacrifice of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus that cleanses you. So you have no guilt and shame when you stand before him. You're considered cleaned and holy and righteous because of what he did on the cross, not because of your actions. And you come in as a humble child, grateful for your father. He is going to reveal himself to you in ways that you've never experienced before. And it's going to transform you. That's the other thing. And we were talking about as we go through different seasons of life, as we've had more children, God has done different things, but the Bible says that he takes us from glory to glory. It talks about that in Corinthians, I believe. And so God is going to transform you and just allow him to do the process and allow it, knowing that it takes time. Don't get frustrated, but know that you can trust him and he is faithful to complete the good work that he started in you, which that's a verse in Philippians.
Yeah, I would say don't be discouraged if it doesn't feel like glory to glory. Because when you say glory to glory, I just imagine like it's a majestic, beautiful thing onto another majestic and beautiful thing. But really sometimes it feels like hardship or trouble or discomfort or pain or whatever it is. But if you continue to lean into him as your source, plug into him as your source, It is transformed and it is glory to glory. It just in the natural, it doesn't always feel that way or look that way.
And that's a very important distinction that needs to be made. And one of the things I realize now, so I was listening, the book that I've been listening to is the book of Revelation. I've been listening to chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is
not the whole book. You just only focus on those four.
I've been focusing on the letters to the churches.
Yeah.
It's just been really, I've never listened to that really in my life. It's really been ministering to me. But in the first chapter, it's so powerful. It's this revelation of who Jesus is. And I can't even, when I heard it just recently, you know, with fresh ears, it just overwhelmed me how incredible Jesus is. But one of the things it says in the beginning that I thought was really interesting is it's set in verse 9. This is Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. And I thought that was so powerful because that is what we're called to, is we're called to be patient and endure through suffering. And he's saying, I'm your brother in suffering. And I mean, they really suffered. Yeah,
we don't know what suffering is.
I tell myself when I get overwhelmed by stuff, I am like, you don't know what your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Even today,
some of their stories down.
We should.
And like have them in our house to show our kids, be like, no, this.
My mom did that for me.
That's good. We're asking you to clear your dishes to the trash can. You're not suffering.
But to give some perspective, it reminded me when I heard that, like, wow, like we are not called to live this comfortable, cushy life. We are called to suffer for the kingdom for his sake. And we're supposed to be patiently enduring through all things. And so that's another encouraging word, is keep going, because God has called us to do it and he will bring you through it. And the reason what I was wanting to say to your point is this, is that it's not always going to be glory. You're not always going to be in the mountaintops where it's like this incredible spiritual high. You're going to go through trials and suffering and they're going to do a good thing within you. But in the midst of the valley, in the midst of trials, you can have an intimacy with the Lord unlike anything else that you'll experience on the mountaintop. And it makes me think of it, that verse in Psalms 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And there's something about experiencing the closeness of Jesus, the comfort of Jesus in very difficult times that is unlike what you experience on the mountaintop. Both are great, but there is something special and precious about him being close to you and comforting you in times of trouble. So I would say, is when all hell is breaking loose in your life, that is when you need to lean into the Lord more than ever. The enemy's going to want to discourage your heart in that time more than ever. And it's going to be easy to give into discouraging thoughts or discouraging emotions and to pull away from God. But you need to actually press in to him, because he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, because we were just mentioning earlier how through each kid, God has done something really cool. God actually gave you a word of how what he did through each child. And I thought
He gave me a picture of who each kid was.
And can you share?
Asher was, if I had my phone,
I actually have him on the top of my head.
I know that Asher was my pioneer.
He was the pioneer. He was the trailblazer.
Well, at the time, we're like, well, what does that mean? Who's he going to come out to be? And now we know,
after
he's 4 years old, he's not only pioneered being the firstborn, but he's also pioneered a lot of new eras in our life as a family. And pioneered being an older sibling, pioneered so many firsts. I mean, anyone who's had kids, you know, your first kid just goes through everything for the first time. Mm-hmm. So they really do have to have a pioneer trailblazing spirit. And Asher has. And he also showed me that Asher was a leader and that he was going to be a prophetic voice in his generation. And I remember being like, I saw this picture of him before he was born with like his hand in the air, sort of like holding up declaratively pointing to the Lord. I just remember seeing this picture. Oh, I told you that. I think I told you that.
No, I don't.
It's like that same time that he told me that he was
the word that pioneer. You got before the sonogram.
It was a picture of him, but it was actually like him, you know. You know how God will speak to you in pictures.
Yeah.
Daytime visions, you know? So it's a picture of Asher pointing to the Lord. And so we've just known all of our lives that he is a leader. He is a trailblazer. He's a prophetic voice. And we have been praying that over him and praying that into him. And we see it in who he is. I mean, he's a four-year-old, so, but we see this strong will. We still see this determination. We see this ability to lead and cultivate, you know, new things. Like, he truly is a trailblazer.
And even a sensitivity to the Spirit.
Totally.
That people that are prophetic that they have.
Just yesterday, he's already said the salvation prayer with us before, but just yesterday, you asked him if he wanted to ask Jesus into his heart again, and he did.
Yeah.
And it was, and, you know, we watched it back on our footage, and it was like the most precious thing ever as he like sincerely said the prayer again. And you could tell like his countenance changed again. You know, it's one of those things where we all need to be renewed all the time. And so it's just so cool to see him. It's been just about a year since he did it the first time. Remember where he did that first time? And so it's cool to see him still want that or have a hunger and like desire to know things of the Lord and like talk with you about God. Like, you were explaining creation to him the other day, and he's just so interested in all of that.
And what to add on to what you're saying, one of the things that we both feel called to do, the reason why God shares these pictures with us of who he's called our children to be is because we as parents are the spiritual covering. You're the head of the house as the father, and you are the priest of the home.
Asher calls me the boss of the house.
Yeah, which...
Dad, are you the boss of my toys?
He says boss. We got to teach him leader, because leader is a more positive.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. But God shares these things with us about our children because we're called to steward their gifting, steward their calling, and pray into them.
One funny thing is Asher was yesterday or 2 days ago over the weekend, he had eaten something and his hands were sticky. And I heard him, he didn't know I was in the room. I was like off the side of the living room, and I heard him running from the kitchen to his bathroom, and he was holding his hands up like this, and he was like, "Don't touch anything, don't touch anything, don't touch." As he ran, so he knows not to touch.
You've trained him. You've trained all of us.
That poor kid, he's so determined to not mess anything up. He's so cute.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
But
all right, so let me tell you about Boaz. Oh, you had a point to make?
Yeah, and then I'll just finish that quickly and go, because you can keep finishing your point. But all that being said is children are so open and have an ability to understand spiritual concepts better than we think at a young age. And you want to stir that up within them and teach them and pour into them at a young age, because they're open and they're learning new things, and you can help develop their interests and influences and all that kind of stuff. So now, even when they're very little like that, and you're thinking, do they understand or should I talk about this? It's like, yes, it's no one else's job for you to teach your children about the Lord.
And that was one of the things that, made me want to pursue you as a partner and eventually marry you, is because I knew that you loved the things of the Lord and you were so on fire for him that it was going to be something that would be embedded in our families and into our children, right? So there's so much like that the father is doing, leading and setting kind of the culture, but you need the mom to come alongside and help bring in a whole nother element that's so, so important. And I love that you do that. And I would just say, encourage you to continue to do it more and more. I know it's going to be hard now with a third baby girl coming, but especially as they get older.
But you find the moments and you take them.
You find the moments and you take them.
Like last night.
Yeah.
That was a moment. And I was like, okay, you know, I already put him down for bed, but he's always so open, his little heart, to talk at night right before he goes to sleep. And you know.
Well, and you had been stirred earlier that day listening to a teaching, or the day before.
I had.
And so that was part of it too, is you had this fresh like
understanding stirring, of like, okay.
Going back to our previous point of like getting plugged in, when you plugged yourself in, you then have the ability to pour out into your children.
That's a good point. Okay, so what did God show you about Bo?
So Bo, he showed me that he
Boaz.
Was-
Boaz. Does he say his full name? We always call him Bo.
Boaz David
Weiss.
But
we named him Boaz intentionally.
So I remember God spoke to me about Asher. And so we had been praying, what is Boaz going to be? I can't remember if we got the name first or this word first.
I remember you got so Jonathan with each of our kids has prayed into them and the Lord has shown him something. And we've actually based the name around that.
Okay.
And so this is with Asher Samuel and with Boaz David.
Yeah.
And so God gave you that word strength, and Boaz means strength, but it means strength from God.
Mm-hmm. And he also showed me that this baby, just like Asher was a pioneer for our family, this baby was going to be a healing baby for our family. And we didn't really know what that meant, but now we do, because there was so much healing that took place not only in your life, but like in our family's life, in your heart. It's amazing how our kids have been such a gift to you personally. Like,
such a gift.
Like, we could probably do a whole series on the things that you've received from being a mom and, you know, each different kid, what they brought you. But Boaz was going to be our healing baby. And now we see him like literally being this healing baby in our home. Now he's 2 years old, but he's such a joy. He's always trying to bring like the best out of everyone. You know,
he's like a healing presence.
No, listen, like I'll go into his room to get him, and the first thing he always says is mama. And he wants me to, and then when you go into his room, what does he say?
Dada.
He just wants everyone to
bring
be together.
Bring us all together.
Yeah. And yeah. He's just, and if he ever does anything wrong, like he punched Asher in the nose the other day, which this is going to happen. But when I corrected him, he was so quick to want to like say sorry. He calls it Shaw.
He goes, well, say sorry, Bo. And he goes, Shaw. Yeah. So cute.
And then he wants to give a hug and a kiss. And like he wants to reconcile. And he is just true. Whereas Ash is a little more like kind of rough and rowdy. He's like, I'm not ready to reconcile this. You know, he's like, I want vengeance. But yeah, Boaz truly has been a healing baby. And then with our third, God showed me that she was going to be our fortifying baby. And I don't remember if he showed me that before we knew the gender or not. Do you?
No, he showed you like in the very beginning.
Before we knew what the gender was.
Before we knew the gender.
So that's kind of cool.
No, it is cool. But the thing is that's already been true. What's so wild is I haven't really contemplated that for a few months. Because I mean, I've been pregnant for now almost 9 months. And you got that. I mean, within the first month, you got that word. And now I can say that is so true. I feel fortified. I feel like our marriage is fortified.
Each one of those words, think about this. Each one of those words has been intimately tied to you personally.
Yeah.
Like you were pioneering through that. You were being healed and healing through that. And now you are being fortified. So it's like a word for our baby, but it's a word for you. It's so wild.
But you know what's crazy is that the verse, I'm going to read it.
Because you're carrying them. You know, you're literally their life source for these 9 months.
This is the verse I heard and the teaching I heard the moment I found out we were pregnant with our daughter. This is Paul talking. He says, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Paul's talking about a hardship he was enduring. And each time God said, my grace is all you need. My power, fortifying. Power and fortifying, they mean the same thing, works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong, because he is strong within us. And what's so wild is that's the revelation that has been one of the main things God has taught me in this season. And it's all connected to being fortified. I'm fortified in him. Mm-hmm. And so this is wild because I've never connected these dots before. I'm kind of tripping out mid-podcast.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that God is good, and we really have surrendered to him, and we really have said, God, have your way in us and in our home and in our family. And when you give God free rule and dominion, I mean, he can work these beautiful things in. And so I just want to say thank you to God and thank you to you for being a husband who prays and seeks God and is listening and hearing for his voice. And because that is so important for men of the household to do, not just the women. For a man that's maybe struggling and they don't know how to do that or what that looks like, what would your advice be?
You know, I think that some of the things are inherently in us. And so you really have to lean into who God says you are in scripture, because it doesn't always feel natural. But if you lean into who God's called us to be, read through the book of Proverbs, read David talking to the Lord in the Psalms, you can begin to see this is who men are.
Yeah.
And when you begin to see that, I believe God will just unpack it for you naturally. But I know that one thing that helps me is just the simple reminder that we're called to love our bride like Christ loves the church. And when you look at things through that lens, it really breaks down some of the other things that might come up as noise or frustration or anger or, you know, shortcomings, because both parties have shortcomings in different ways. You know, like there's things that I do that frustrate you, or things that you do that frustrate me. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of the things that I do that frustrate you. But when you look through the lens of who we're called to be, just back to our beginning point, who you're called to be, and you operate from that, you plug into Him as your source, God makes up the difference. God makes up the slack. And so that's, you know, just continue to walk that out, and the Lord will show it to you.
How does someone hear from God?
Well, I mean, for me, it comes in different ways, right? I don't know how everyone hears from God, but for me, He'll speak to me sometimes out of the blue, and I'll just know that it's Him because it doesn't come like any other voice. Mm-hmm. He'll also speak to me through pictures, like we were talking about what He showed me with Asher. So sometimes I'll get daydreams. I'm not somebody that has a lot of night dreams, although I have had night dreams from Him. There's like three that I can remember, and every single time they were very, very significant, and like they were warning signs.
Yeah.
So for some reason, that's how He gets my attention, when He's trying to warn me of something or share something very important about like a decision I need to make. So I think there's multiple ways that people can hear from God. I know for you, you often hear from the Lord when you get into a quiet place and you're listening to worship and you're reading scripture. And it's in that time that you actually will be speaking in spirit to the Lord, and He'll impart to you not only feelings, but He'll actually give you a word or show you a revelation or show you something, because you'll always come back to me. You'll be crying, you'll be glowing, and you'll be like, God just showed me the coolest thing.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, He'll actually scripture. Either I'll be reading the Bible and something will kind of stand out to me, or I'll actually hear like a phrase and I'll look it up and it's a scripture.
That's
and
right.
The word. And then I know, okay, go and study that.
And we
more.
Know that the word is living, breathing, and it's real, it's eternal.
Yes.
And so it is something that, although written 2,000 years ago, is not only applied today, but like revelation comes out of it today, and you can never get enough of it. That's the wild thing. It's like you can read it over and over again, and still we'll read a scripture and be like, oh, wow.
It's endless.
Right.
And God has a word for you in each season, in His word, in the Bible. And if you are actively like praying God, seeking God, reading scripture, He will highlight to you and show you and speak to you and minister to you through His word. And so the reading the word of God is not just supposed to be like a one-way experience where you're reading the scripture. It's a dialogue between you and God.
Yeah. And people, let us know in the comments how you hear the Lord. We want to know how you hear the Lord too.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So share with us, how do you hear God's voice? And I just want to say thank you for sitting down and having this conversation.
Always my pleasure.
Please come back.
Okay.
And I want to say thank you for watching or listening to the Rebecca Weiss podcast.